Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Hello, I'm Marie Steiner, honored to interview today, Monday, July the 12th, 2021, Navy veteran Lawrence Wesley Steiner, who also is my brother-in-law. Lawrence served in the United States Marines March 30th, 1962. Served in the Navy March 30th, 1962 through June 29th, 1966. This interview is being held at the Midwest Genealogy Center, Mid-Continent Public Library in Independence, Missouri. Larry was born May 21st, 1939 to John Baptist Steiner and Madeline Grace Corbin Woods. Larry, let's begin where you grew up in Kansas City. Larry, go ahead and begin.
When I grew up in Kansas City?
Yes.
Well, you want me to state what happened?
No, I want you to tell me a little bit about growing up. You were born and raised in Kansas City. Growing up in Kansas City during that period, what was your childhood like?
My childhood. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, it was super. It was a great childhood. We lived actually in the inner city, which was out of Kansas City somewhat, and it was a nice area, and I guess we had like two or three homes in that area, and of course it was out of Kansas City, so we had to take the bus. The Kansas City Transit bus to school and wherever we were going, if the car wasn't available, but that wasn't no problem. I mean, we took it to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about high school,
right? And where did you go to? Where did you go to high school, Larry?
Oh, I went to Northeast High.
And did you graduate? Did you graduate from Northeast High?
No, I graduated in the United States Navy after I was already in the Navy.
Ah, tell me a little bit about how that came about. Did you decide because someone approached you?
I just wanted to graduate, and I had the opportunity in the Navy for anybody that wanted to go ahead and take the test. And so I did, and so I was.
Why did you choose the Navy? Was there any influence in your childhood growing up that you met a Navy veteran at that time?
The reason that I went in the Navy was because I was drafted in the Army, and so then I went to I came to Kansas City. They told me to come to Kansas City in 2 weeks, so we would have. You need to be ready to go. So I did that and sold all my furniture, sold everything, got my leave of absence from my job. And then I got to Kansas City, and a week later they sent me another notice, the Selective Service Board sent me another notice that they had canceled my draft orders, so they will not need me at this time. So I didn't know what to do. I'd sold my furniture, everything. And so I went out to see them and asked them, how long will it be and et cetera? What can I do? And they said, well, you can't do anything, just wait. And they said, it could be tomorrow, or it could be next year or 2 years. So I didn't know what to do. So my father-in-law at that time worked for TWA, an airline, And he got a hold of me and said, if he was in the Navy, and he said, if you want to go in the Navy, well, that'd be good, and you can go into aircraft, and by the time you get out of the Navy, you'll have a lot of work history on aircraft, and I could probably get you on at TWA. So I went ahead and went in the Navy.
Well, that was a good plan. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but of course, you know, the aircraft thing didn't work out because my father-in-law, he was cutting he was doing carpentry work in the basement, and he cut off completely three of his fingers, so he couldn't work at the job that he was working at TWA, so he ended up, you know, leaving TWA while I was in the Navy. So when I got home, I didn't approach TWA, and I went to work at the same job that I had before.
Well, let's back up and let's go back to the Navy. So your plan was to come back and work for TWA. So what did you do while you were in the Navy? The last time we interviewed, you had 12 weeks in boot camp. What were they training you for in boot camp?
Oh, in boot camp, they just train you for discipline, mostly.
And then after
after boot camp is when you go to school or wherever they're going to send you.
Uh-huh.
Where they sent me was a helicopter squadron in Pensacola, Florida. So that's where I went, and I stayed there for like, I guess, a year and a half, 2 years. Then I went to
I wrote down Rhode Island.
That was the second one after Pensacola, Florida.
Okay.
HD-8 Ellison Field was the helicopter squadron. And then I went to Key West, Florida is where I went, and that was a school.
Okay.
And that was really good. I enjoyed Key West, Florida. Went deep sea fishing, and you know, the people that lived there was really nice and took us out, you know, deep sea fishing and all kinds of good things. So Key West, Florida was wonderful for me. And then we went to Rhode Island. Quonset Point, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a helicopter squadron. And I was in maintenance there. And I was in maintenance at HD-8 Ellis Field. And at Quonset Point, Rhode Island, that was a anti-submarine squadron that I was in. And what they did at that time was they went out looking for Russian submarines. That was during the Cold War period. And the Russians had submarines running up and down the East Coast. And we would go out and look for them. So that's what we did. And that was what the squadron did.
Did
so
you?
I stayed there until I got out of the Navy, and actually I had a job lined up, getting out of the Navy at a place that worked on aircraft there at Quonset Point, and I was going to go to work there, but then I changed my mind and came back to Kansas City and went back to work where I was working before.
Mm-hmm. So I hear some family stories about a flight crew back of a helicopter. Was that any time during that period?
That was at Ellison Field. While I was at Pensacola, Ellison Field.
Uh-huh.
That was a training squadron, and what they did there was train people to fly helicopters. And of course, the reason that I ended up, you know, in the back of the helicopter was because I always did everything I could to learn new things and move on up if I could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew if I took that school, air crewman school, that I would be able to maybe, you know, do better things. And I was glad I did, because it was a learning experience. They run us through a lot of training for it. We sit back in the back and basically checked the helicopter over before we got in, and then we watched it, you know, and listened to it to make sure that it was operating correctly. And besides that, we watched for traffic, more helicopters flying around us, and we, you know, reported to the pilot that helicopter at 1500. So that's what I did there.
Okay. Can we back up?
That was fun. I liked that.
Did you? Air crewmen.
Yeah, flying around in a helicopter. So I love that. Yeah.
And how long did you do that?
Most of the time that I was at Ellison Field.
Okay. Let's back up just a minute. During the time that you were in Florida.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you were looking for Russians who were running up and down.
No. That was in Quonset Point, Rhode Island.
Okay. Quonset, Rhode Island, during the Cold War.
Quonset Point, Rhode Island.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. You were in, at that time, during the Cold War, the Russians were running up and down the ocean.
The East Coast. And the ocean.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What were your responsibilities at that time? What was your part in that? Being on a ship, what was your experience?
Well, the only part I had there was the maintenance on the aircraft. The helicopters?
Yes.
I didn't fly in any of the helicopters at that point.
Okay.
After I left Ellison Field, I did not fly it. It was a little more upgrade than what I had at Ellison Fields. You know, the people had more rank,
mm-hmm.
as per se, the people that flew in the helicopters in the back had more rank than I did, so they used them.
I see.
So if I was aboard ship, you know, I was in maintenance, you know, working on aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Aircraft every so often has to have what they call a check. They call it check. They have to have check where you have to tear them down and make sure that, you know, everything's okay in them and put them back together. But that's a lengthy process.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. All aircraft are that way. All these aircraft that you see every once in a while has to be put in a hangar and taken apart and everything inspected. And then they put them back together.
So that's what you learned to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you must have
the
been...
The only thing that we... Our shop, our part of that airplane was the everything on the airplane but the motor, the engines, and the transmissions. All the rest of the aircraft was ours. So it was different shop that took care of the transmission and engines?
Yes. Well, tell me, what was your most, what is the memory that stands out of your tour in the service in the Navy? What is the moment? I know you kind of touched on, you liked Florida and the deep sea fishing, but your military service, can you tell me what memory really stands out that you never have forgotten, that it has stayed with you?
Well, I think probably that would be when I was in Quonset Point, Rhode Island, on the ship. The ship had the mission to pick up, now if I can remember right, to pick up the, it was one of the first spacecrafts, and it came down in the ocean and splashed into the ocean, and then the people on the ship had to go get them out of the ocean and bring them aboard ship. But that spaceship that came in, that was probably the thing that stands out more to me than anything. I can't remember the name of the spaceship, but
do you remember the year that happened?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. Because I know you were in the service at the time, and you're trying to remember. The spaceship or spacecraft that you went back to retrieve. What was your responsibility in as much as getting that spacecraft onto the ship?
I didn't have any. I was in the airframe shop, and the only thing I got to do was, you know, the head guy at the shop told us all we could go up and see it as it came in. But I didn't have any responsibilities at all with it. All I was doing was watching it.
Uh-huh.
Watching the astronauts, I guess they called them astronauts at that time, but
yes.
Watching them get out of the spaceship.
Yes. What was the weather like that day? Was it a pretty calm day, in as much as when the...
It was beautiful. It was beautiful, sunny, with very little wind, and it was an absolute gorgeous day.
And where was the Navy ship at this time? Where were they in the ocean? Do you recall? If I recall right,
they were in the North Atlantic somewhere, but I'm not sure where.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else about your military? What is there anything more about your military life that you want to share and record it for future generations?
Future generations.
Mm-hmm. Like your son and soon to be a grandchild? Your stepdaughter, her children? Is there anything in your military life that you would share that would help them see the kind of person you were while you were in the service? They know you now, but they didn't know you then.
Right.
Is there anything else in your life, the military life? You shared with them why you decided on the Navy, how that worked out, that your father-in-law was in the Navy. That kind of directed you. You were on an aircraft carrier in the Navy.
Right.
Now, the Vietnam War was still going on at that time, Larry. Did you have any involvement with Vietnam and all the politics that was going on?
None whatsoever. The only thing that I knew at that time was that the people that managed this training squadron I was in had to advance their training because they used so many helicopters in Vietnam that they they requested and got more helicopters at that time and more people coming in for training than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And they extended me for, was it three or four months, they extended me. After I was due to get out, they wouldn't let me out for those 3 or 4 months, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
that they kept me in because of the, because of that.
I see.
There was other people that was also extended.
Do you recall all the cruises that you made on the Navy ship? How many times did you go out?
Oh, no. I don't remember that at all.
Was it more than one?
Yeah, it was more than one.
Uh-huh.
I didn't. I didn't like going to sea. I didn't like it at all.
Why didn't you like it?
Well, you've never been on a ship before, so you don't understand what the living conditions are. And of course, the ships in those days were worse than these days. But you know
what? No, what was it? What was it
like? As far as the living quarters,
yes,
the sleeping quarters. You know, you had a bunk that was 4 high, and you only had like, I don't know, maybe a foot between the bunks that you had to sleep in. There's 3 other guys on top.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know how that worked. You know, maybe I was on top, but anyway, there's 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the ship is crowded, and it's hard to, you had to stand in line for a long time to get something to eat every time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just wasn't a good time. It just wasn't good.
Do you remember how?
So what I did was, you know, I was telling you about the check crews.
Mm-hmm.
Well, check crews had to keep working whether they were on the ship or the shore.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was got on one of the check crews so that I could stay at Ellison Field or Quonset Point, Rhode Island on the check crew so that I wouldn't have to go to sea so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Another thing was that I was married at that time, and I didn't really feel like leaving my wife at that time.
Right.
Neither did a lot of other men, but I just figured out a way I could do it. I still went on some cruises. I went to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and Bermuda, and what's the one down at, I don't know. I can't remember.
I understand. It's been a few years back.
Yeah, about 60.
When you say it like that, it sounds like a long time. So,
well, let's see. I was 21 when I went in the Navy.
Yep.
So, that's been a long time ago.
A very long time ago. Well, let's talk a little bit about your growing up. You had said that after the Navy, you came back. You decided to come back to Kansas City and get your job that you had when you left.
Uh-huh.
So you came back to Kansas City. You said you were married.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any children at that point with this marriage?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you had various jobs from our last interview. I recall that. Can you tell me a little bit about your family heritage? Like, what's your ethnic background? Where does your family originate from? Like your grandparents?
My grandparents My mom's mom and dad, I'm not sure, because they were already deceased when, you know, before I was born, mm-hmm. or whatever.
And what were their names, Larry?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what their names were.
Okay.
Danny probably knows.
Uh-huh. And but, your dad's parents?
Yeah, my dad's parents were from Germany. Came over here on ship. My grandfather came over first, and my grandmother came over.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to work for the brewery, made beer.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the name of that brewery?
He worked his way up to brewmaster, which is the guy that is in charge of the quality of the beer at all times. You know, I can't really remember. They went through a number of different beer companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't ever think of the one that's, you know, I can't think of the ones that was took over after the others left.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I recall one of them was Slitz.
Was it? Yeah, Slitz, yeah.
Slitz
yeah,
was
yeah,
one of them.
Slitz.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like you, I don't remember what the second one was, but it started with an M.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. Okay, well, you never worked.
Was it Muehlbach?
Yes, Muehlbach. That's what
yeah,
it was.
Muehlbach. They even had a hotel downtown.
Yes, and they were the same family.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So you never worked for them?
Oh, no. No, I didn't work for any breweries. My dad worked for them. Not too much, but he worked some.
Mm-hmm.
And my Uncle Louie worked for them for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know my Uncle Louie?
Yes, I did. I knew your Uncle Louie.
He was the one relative that I really enjoyed the most. All my growing up time and the whole time, you know. He was a neat guy. Neat guy.
Well, tell me a little bit about Uncle Louie.
He was fun. He was a fun guy. My dad was a serious guy, and he was a fun guy. So you haven't had to like the fun guys.
Yes.
Of course, when you're kids, you know, especially.
Right.
But he did all kinds of things with me and for me, and he's one of my favorite relatives.
Did he live close by your home?
Not too far away. Maybe half a mile, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he lived close, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you describe yourself as a child, Larry? Were you happy?
Oh, yeah, I was a happy child. Yeah, I was. Of course, everything around me was good. You know, I mean, I can't think of anything that's bad around me. So that made me happy. You know, that made me happy all the time.
Well, good.
Well, maybe not all the time.
I understand.
Most of the time, yeah.
Well, what's your best memory of childhood?
Best memory of childhood.
You said Uncle.
I guess that would be Mom. You know, the way Mom, how wonderful Mom was to us, and the kind of person that she was, and the things that she did for us, and all those things. I mean, what. There wasn't a better person on the earth than she was. She took good care of us, all five of us, and took care of us and played games and all that stuff that you do with children, especially when before TV. And she took care of us. She took care of us. And it wasn't easy because we, you know, we didn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, so she was number one. Yeah.
Well, good. That's good to hear about your parents.
My dad was good too. He was a good person too.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be bragging, but I was his favorite out of the five, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he treated me really, really good, and I was kind of the kid that liked to be with him because he was always doing interesting things that I could learn what he was doing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we were together a lot. And I would help him, you know,
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he was doing, I would help him. So, but he, for some reason, I guess I was his favorite, you know, out of the five.
That's good to know. Do you have any favorite stories from your childhood with your dad that you still recall today? I know you said you were with him a lot.
The only thing I can think of is that one time we were out, you know, when they had trains, they fired them with coal. You know what that is, coal?
Yes.
They fired them with coal. And the coal would fall off of the coal cars down on the tracks. And we were poor, so we had to go down to the tracks and pick up that coal. And also the railroad ties that they had under the tracks.
Yes.
You know, to hold the tracks together.
Yes.
We also had to go, Dad and I went down to the tracks and got those ties and carried them up home and then cut them up with a saw and then used them for firewood. Well, sometimes we'd load his trucks, so, you know, he didn't have a new truck, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we would load that truck up so much that the front wheels would come off of the pavement, you know, come off the road.
Yes.
And, we always got a kick out of that. A truck raising up too much of a load. I don't see how that truck hauled all that, but it hung in there.
Yep.
So that was kind of a fun thing.
That's a memory for sure.
Yeah, that's a memory. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to your grandparents. You said you didn't know your mother's parents. But your father's parents,
no.
You did. Did you have times that you remember with them?
Yeah, you know, I used to go out to their house. They invited me out to the house quite a bit, in fact. And Dad had a sister by the name of Helen, and she had a little girl, and the little girl was my age. So I would go out there and we would play together, you know, that
mm-hmm.
thing. So she was always glad that I was coming out. And of course, Grandpa was kind of like Dad, you know, he was kind of a quiet, reserved person. So, you know, he didn't talk to me too much, you know, he was quiet, and Grandma was completely quiet because she didn't know any English whatsoever, and I'm not sure if she ever learned any English. I'd have to ask Danny. Danny'd know. But they were good people. I mean, they were kind, and they, you know, they liked us grandkids. Grandkids, Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was good. That was good too.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to share about your grandparents, a memory? You said you played with your cousin that was Aunt Helen's child. Is there any other memories going over to your grandparents?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Well, let's share a little bit about your, I know that you have a son, Adam.
Adam, yes.
And I know that we've had this interview before, and one of the questions that I asked you was, what were you most proud of? What are you most proud of in your life?
Oh, that was Adam, when Adam was born. Yeah, absolutely. He was, we had to wait on Adam for 10 years, so we were happy when he came along. So he was the delight of our life, and he still is, but he lives a long ways off.
Right. And I understand you have some news about Adam and Kirsten?
Yeah. They're going to have a grandbaby for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been prodding that along. I've been trying to help that along, and I finally made it. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, I would differ.
That's not true. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, I say if Adam hadn't been born, Kirsten wouldn't be having her child with Adam. So you had something to do with
it. That's true.
If Adam wasn't here. Right.
Right.
So, one of the questions I always like to ask the veterans, how would you best like to be remembered?
Oh, God. Best like to be remembered. You mean?
Because I could hear you talking about your grandparents, how you remember them, how you talk about Dad and how you remember him, and Uncle Louie, how you remember him. Mm-hmm. How would you like for your legacy when they remember Larry? How would you like to be remembered? You said Dad was serious, but Uncle Louie was fun. Grandpa was kind of quiet. So how would you describe Lawrence Steiner? How would he like to be remembered?
What a rotten guy he is. Was. No, that's not true.
That's not true.
I don't know, Hard worker, dedicated, and did things for people that he could. Unselfish. I guess that's about it.
Okay. Is there any, since you have your son who's now married and expecting his first child, is there any words of wisdom that you'd like to share with Kirsten and Adam as far as advice that you would give them about raising their first child? Words of wisdom. Something you can't find in a book. What to expect?
They wouldn't pay any attention if I told them.
No, but they'll be able to listen to this. They'll be able to years down listen to this interview and say, you know what? We should have listened to Dad. He knew all along. How was it when you brought Adam home? Were you and Stacia, how should I say? When you brought Adam home from the hospital, you and Stacia, did you feel like you were prepared for that baby to come home? Did you have any surprises?
Yes, I felt total prepared. Yes, I did. Yes.
And why were you totally prepared? You'd never had a child before.
Well, for 10 years, I had been hoping, wishing, praying for one, and I finally got one, and it, you know, we had everything together, that's for sure, for him.
Mm-hmm.
And mentally, physically, whatever, but, you know, he was, we welcomed him from day one.
So is there any words of wisdom you'd like to leave for them? Love them, care for them, remember their gift?
Yeah. Those are good. I like those. Write those down.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to share that we haven't touched on?
No, I don't think so.
We talked about family, talked about growing up.
Yeah. Service.
Your service. Is there any parting? I don't want to call it a comment. Is there any parting words of wisdom that you'd like to leave that for generations will be listened to and understand what you're sharing with them, that even back today, and this might be 20, 30 years down the road, somebody will listen to this recording and understand that generations change, so much changes, but so much stays the same. You've lived now 82 years, and yet you can see when you were growing up and the generations growing up today that a lot is different, but a lot is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything that you think to yourself, it's not so different than when I was growing up? We still look to our parents for advice, for direction. We still all want to be loved.
Yes.
So is there anything that comes to mind in sharing that with you, those thoughts, that you'd like to share so that Adam and Kirsten and your grandchild, your wife, your brothers, your sister would say, I didn't know that about Larry. He was a wise person.
No, I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
Okay.
I don't think I have anything at this time.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your time. Go ahead.
I thank you. I thank you for listening to me.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm just glad that we did get this interview completed.
Yes.
It was very important to me.
Yes, I know it was.
Very important.
That's why I did it again.
I appreciate
because
it.
I knew it was important to you.
Yes, it was very important to me.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Well,
that way. You make it happen no matter what.
I try. Sometimes it's not always easy.
Oh, well, I didn't say easy.
No, not easy. Life in general is not.
No.
But I do appreciate you taking the time, and I do appreciate your service.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on here, and you take care.
We will do the same. You do the same, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.